Two. It's only two. That was only two. That was only two.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies Sunday Rides. It's me. It's the big guy KG sitting in with none other than the boss BJ. And the man that only gave you two pumps. The Midnight Watch.
Just two. That didn't sound good at all. Oh boy.
Oh, my good brothers, how y'all feeling this morning?
Good, man.
Fantastic.
Before we jump off into this thing, you see that banner rolling at the bottom. You want to get your whiskey drinker, your bourbon drinker, and the Midnight Rider. And, I'm sorry, the Nubian Sumo and Foamy, they also have Rise. So you want to get your drinker, your sipper, a little something for Christmas. Go to www.buyfortmose.com. That's buy, buyfortmose.com. Use our discount code. So that's /discount/maniacs. Get $10 off. I believe you order over $130 worth, it's free shipping, baby. Go ahead and take care of that. Get yourself something nice for the Christmas holidays. Hell, New Year's is coming up. You got to have something to sip on New Year's. Come on now, hit that link. Go ahead and purchase a tasty beverage and enjoy yourself. And then also, once you purchase it, don't hesitate to come give us a review so we can just, you know, spread the testimonies all around.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll be doing love talk and shout outs based on KG's voice this morning. So if you want to tell somebody you love them, taking it back to the 80s, you want to call them on the phone and just put the phone up to the computer. Love talking slow jams with KG later on today, baby, after 12 o'clock.
I got you.
Y'all remember that episode of Family Guy when Peter had a cold and he kept talking to Lois like this, and Lois kept jumping his bones. So, when I wake up in the morning, I like to talk like this because half the time I only want to go to work.
Mm. I got you.
Mm.
Got a job in my bones. Oh. Mm.
Mm. That's more than two pumps.
That's way more than two pumps. It's only love doing its thing, baby. All right, let's get this thing going, baby.
Oh, man.
Last night, we had the NBA in-season tournament. Midnight Rider.
Oh, go James! It's go James!
His Lakers beat the Pacers. It was a pretty good game, but the Lakers beat the Pacers to win the NBA in-season tournament, which I have to admit was a little bit more exciting than I thought it would be. It was actually exciting to see players go off this early in the season for like career games. And I hope this whole thing, you know, says how the season's going to go. Start with the boss BJ. Like, did you, I know you probably went to sleep, but did you catch the highlights? How did you feel about it?
The in-season tournament as a whole?
Yeah. As well as the championship game.
I guess I'm like on the other side of the fence, probably in a remote area of the country, because this is by far the weakest shit I've ever seen in my life. I stand on that. I stand on business on that. For you to have to create something for your players to quote unquote get motivated and go off, it's just an absolute abomination of where we are as a society in sports. That this has to become an in-season NBA tournament where they're popping champagne in December in the locker room. And I hate to say this, but there's another thing that for me that's going to be an X mark on LeBron James' legacy. Just that he's a part of this. Nah, this is absolute horseshit. I'm not a fan of this. That's like the NFL having a mid-season tournament. That is just, this ain't the pros. This ain't Little League. I'm trying to remind you guys, we have to motivate professional players that are making millions of dollars have travel and all their expenses paid, WNBA, to motivate them to play a game. This is the weakest shit. I would not be a part of this. This is the weakest shit I've ever seen in my life. But if you're a basketball aficionado and they played hard and you enjoyed it, hey, I'm all for it. I just can't get with it. I can't get jiggy with it. Sorry.
Nah. So, like I've said before, if you listen to us when we talk about the in-season tournament, I say that this tournament is for the age bracket of 18 to 35. It's not for us, old geezers. I think the tournament came out at the end of the run better than I think they thought it was going to actually happen. I think it was a little confusing on the Tuesdays and Thursdays, which nights were the tournament games, which ones weren't. So I would like to see them be a little bit more exclusive on how they schedule the game, so that way you know Tuesday night is exclusively the night set aside for the in-season tournament. They did good with having the floors, even though I didn't like some of the ways the floors were designed. But overall, I think it was a success for the NBA because it's something different. And again, when we get back to that bracket we're talking about, 18 to 35, we're talking about guys that watch FIFA, the UEFA, the soccer tournaments. And I know soccer has this style of a tournament in it. So that's where also some of this buzz comes from, or some of the idea behind this. I know the WNBA has it as well, for those that watch, those 22 people. So it's just one of those things where I think they're just trying to find a niche and find something to just to get people involved early. And I think it went well for the most part. And I think next year will be better because they'll get some of the little some of the little things that didn't go right out of the way, and it'll grow into its own thing. Let's think about how we felt about the play-in tournament. You know, we're not the biggest fans, the three of us, of the play-in tournament either, but the rest of the world thinks the play-in tournament is something nice and something special. So we got to understand and feel and get to the point where we're comfortable being uncomfortable. Like, we got to know that this isn't meant for us. That's the one thing I always say. I want us to understand is this ain't our NBA anymore. You know, all the guys that we grew up watching, they retired and they sitting on the couch watching the game just like we are. You know, Jeff Malone ain't walking back through that door. Moses Malone, you know, Kobe Bryant, all those guys aren't coming back. You know, Tracy McGrady, Yao Ming, everybody during our eras, they're gone. You know, so we got to be ready for the next level and the next iteration. It's just like when our dads were sitting there talking to us and we were talking about Michael Jordan. And they was telling us how Michael Jordan carried the ball every time he dribbled. He ain't no Wilt Chamberlain. He ain't no Kareem. This is where we are in our lives. We're the historians trying to tell the youngsters about guys they should know about.
And I absolutely agree with that 100%. But in those discussions where the guys that grew up watching Wilt and Kareem and stuff, there was never a point in time where you had to find something to motivate these guys to play. Never. We're in a generation where you have to find something for people making millions of dollars to be motivated to do their job. The motivation of having a kid come to his first game or spending $200 on tickets and $200 on food and stuff, that's not motivation enough. And that shit is sad. It's absolutely sad that has to be the motivation. Like, it's just like, I'm going to leave it alone.
It is my rebuttal.
I got to turn my TV off. Kimmy Checks got something on, and this, I'm going to be distracted.
Here's my rebuttal. Number one, Midnight Rider, why the hell did the WNBA have to catch a stray?
What happened?
Oh, the 22 people.
Oh, I said the 27 people that watched the WNBA.
Well, you said 22.
Let me get them numbers.
The WNBA, we're not even going to get into that. The WNBA has their own in-season cup called the Commissioner's Cup. They've been doing it for 3 years.
And I gave them credit. KG, right. Why are you mad at me for giving them credit?
I'm not saying that. I'm telling you, this is where the NBA got it from.
Right.
So
and that's what I said. I said, how's that catching a stray? When I said that they have a tournament similar to this.
No, catching a stray was you saying they only got 22 viewers, but they had more viewership. Their viewership was up last Commissioner's Cup and last season. It was up by 35%.
So what's that, 60 people?
There we go. Only in America, baby.
You know what? We'll put a pin in that. We'll talk about that all season.
If it's a pin for the WNBA, somebody else has to hold a pin because they can't hold their own weight. So you make sure you stand at the board. You hold that pin till next week.
Moving right along.
Hey, have you had enough of looking up?
You ain't never lied about that. I'm still paying for Friday. Last night, we had the Heisman Trophy presentation at, what is it called? The Downtown... Is it the Downtown Football Club? What is it called now? Is it still called that? Like that. But your new Heisman Trophy winner is none other.
The fall guy.
Then
the stunt man.
It should have been Sam Hartman, but I mean, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and say, you know.
He didn't finish in the top 10, brother.
Well, I mean, I pull for Notre Dame to win the Heisman every year. I don't give a damn who it is. I'm still bitter about him.
If they make a special award for the seventh year in college, the Van Wilder Heisman Trophy, he'd have won that.
No, I'm still bitter about 90, so I'm always going to have a problem with it. But Jaden Daniels is your 2023 Heisman Trophy winner. Jaden Daniels out of LSU. I'm trying to pull up his stats here.
I know he had 50 touchdowns. And he had 1,000 yards rushing.
They had Lincoln Center in New York. That's where it was, Lincoln Center.
Oh, okay. They don't have it in the same place anymore. He played 12 games. Played 12, started 12, 9-3 overall, 72% completion rate, 3,812 yards, 11.7 per attempt, 40 TDs, 4 INTs.
Passing.
Passer rating of 208.0. He had 1,134 yards rushing with 10 rushing touchdowns. If that doesn't scream Heisman to you, well, what's crazy is I'll say that screams Heisman, but I also thought Dwayne Haskins' final year at Ohio State screamed Heisman too. That shows you what I know because he wasn't even in the running. But to have a season like that for Jaden Daniels, absolutely amazing, man. Congratulations to the kid that every game that he's played, and well, I'm sorry, every game he started in, he started 55 out of 55 games his whole college career. And I think he's got big things coming. Fellas.
Man, now, Ryder, can I go first? Because I know you got some. Let me tell you something, I just want to touch on this. When you consider awards and top four, your schedule and where you play your ball at and who you play will always be in consideration. It's just that simple. Let's not even get to the injuries and all that other stuff. Where you play your ball and who you play your ball against means the world. And that's all. That's it. That's all. There's a reason why the SEC cleans up. It's a reason why. It's a reason why the ACC is where it is. If we're talking about the ACC of yesteryear with Florida State and Miami, two big powerhouses beating each other all the time, then you got some dogs in the fight. But when you barely beating teams that other teams crush, that other teams walk over and destroy, other teams go in there, they don't even show up on the field and they win. They had the house wooing their wives and stuff, talking to their sisters, taking them out on dates.
This ain't BYU. Only BYU got wives. NCAA, they got girlfriends.
I'm sorry, girlfriends and side pieces. I'm just saying, it matters. It matters in college football. And, you know, Ben always says you can't have morals for guys and people that run an organization that don't, that that's not even in the cards for them, right? And that's a part of it too. It's a money grab. But it absolutely matters who you play. You think Maryland, if Maryland went undefeated in the current Big Ten, you think Maryland wouldn't be top four?
Right. If Maryland, I'm on the schedule, but that's, I digress.
Let me ask you this. If Maryland went undefeated, would you put them in front of Florida State, undefeated Florida State?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they went to Michigan and Ohio State.
Thank you. It matters who you play. And you could make, you could blame anybody up the food chain, the AD, whoever schedules the games. They have to know this. You have to figure out some way to get somebody on that schedule that is going to mean something towards the end of the year when you're vying for those top four spots. That's all I got to say.
Go ahead, Katie. But schedules are made, if I'm not mistaken, 5 years out. So you'll have a coach, AD, sit down and make a schedule, and then they're not there anymore. And the coach that comes in has to take care of that because everything's scheduled 5 years out, if I'm not mistaken.
5 years ago, Florida State schedule. Who on that schedule was top anything 5 years ago?
Well, Florida State wasn't even top anything 5 years ago.
Thank you.
So, but you also got to realize everybody got to want to play you too.
Right. So the way this game comes out is when you put it in the mix, like most teams go in agreement and they all sign a 3-year deal or a 4-year deal where everybody gets a home and home and you play the games. And it's just like if we all remember, because we're all old enough to remember, with Gary Williams, he's always tell John Thompson he owes him one, or vice versa. I don't remember how that went, but because they scheduled a game, but they didn't play the other game at the other team's home place. So it was like, you owe me one. In college football, Notre Dame has gone into agreements with teams for 2024. You know, and KG's right. It's about 5 years, but sometimes it's a little bit shorter window. Sometimes it's a 3-year window, depending on how the schedule plays out or how the schedule lays out for each team. So, that happens.
But I also remember when scheduling, especially, you know, college basketball, when you schedule little sisters of the poor first, you know, tune-up games before you start playing conference games.
That's the John Thompson rule. Calm down, yes. Baby John.
Unfortunately, in football, you can schedule a Kent State, you can schedule a William and Mary early, but the rest of you got to be playing against ranked opponents. And for those of us that used to play college football, EA Sports, NCAA, whatever year, when you made your season for the next season, you always had to have a good strength of schedule to move up in the rankings. I mean, it's the same. It's the same as anything. When it comes down to basketball, that RPI, that strength of schedule, determines where you're seated. You can go undefeated, but if your strength of schedule is 91, you're going to be like a 12 in the Midwest. You're going to be playing in like Toledo or something first round. You had no competition, but you cannot blame the coaches. If the coaches weren't there 4 or 5 years ago, you can't blame them. Shit, you can't even blame the players. They got to play the cards they were dealt. So,
all right, so let's get back to the thing at hand, which is Jaden Daniels winning the Heisman. If you've seen the list on Tuesday Night Flight, you guys know that I call him the stunt man, call him the fall guy. He's been number two all year, not all year, but probably the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's probably been number two on the list because his stats have just jumped out and been crazy. Last night, because I had the weird, I had to drop Josh off the same day. Like, some Saturdays are just the Saturdays where I know when I get in the house and I get comfortable, I'm going to doze off. And I dozed off, and I caught the last part of the Lakers winning the in-season cup game. I forgot to buy my champagne, but I felt like that wasn't worthy of champagne, so that's why I didn't do it. But when I turned to his highlights and started watching Jaden Daniels, and I've done this for a couple quarterbacks. I'll probably do this all season. But one thing I liked about the kid is his feet are always in the right place. He has a solid arm. Probably has a better arm than I give him credit for. But the crazy thing is I remember this kid from 2019. His first game at Arizona State, I remember watching him thinking he, DTR, who's now playing in Cleveland, but he was a redshirt freshman, Sam Howell, and it was one other quarterback. I felt like they were going to be the quarterbacks of the future. DTR is a backup. Howell's playing for the Commanders. And Daniels is somehow still finishing up college. Him, Sam Hartman. And then Trevor Lawrence is also, I think, in that class. And he's been in the league for 2 years because the COVID year and all that other crazy stuff. That's how everybody else is in it. But I still think the only thing that scares me about Daniels, and I'm going to say this as a Commanders fan only, is he takes too many big shots. And I'm not talking about throwing the football. I'm talking about when he runs the football. When he becomes a runner, he eerily reminds me of RG3 because he gets folded. He gets, oh my God, it is ridiculous how he gets hit. Like if you just type in the YouTube, Jaden Daniels hits or whatever it is, you will see this kid get folded, play. It's like at least twice a game. So that's the one thing that scares me about him is what is his NFL future going to be? But I like him from an arms talent standpoint. And I think for the combine, this might be one of those combines where the top, I just hope everybody throws at the combine. I swear to God, I hope everybody throws. Because Penix, him, Nix, they're all going to be special when it comes to throwing the football down the field. And it's going to be a show. It's probably going to be one of the best throwing segments of the combine that we've ever seen, not from a pure one person thing. So in years past, we've had Josh Allen show off his arm. We've had Levis show off his arm. But I think we're going to have 3 to 4 guys in this class show off their arm at the combine. It's going to be bombs away.
Okay. I'm not a fan of throwing at the combine. I've been burned too many times. Let's just say that.
Well, see, that's the – so me, you know, the combine comes. I'm sitting – if I can get all 3 or 4 days, I'm sitting there. I'm taking notes. I'm paying attention. Like, I'm looking for corners and safeties to see how they come out of their drops. And like, I'm baby Mike Mayock. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got to say pause because some of the things that Mike Mayock says needs a pause in front of it. When he starts talking about bubble butts and oily hips, I got to say pause. But those are things that you got to take into account when you're talking about a player in the draft.
Speaking of which, I had a coach tell me that about A.J. Hawk. He was like, A.J. Hawk's a good college player, but he'll never make it in the NFL. I said, why not? He was like, he ain't got no hips. He said, he can't turn. He ain't got no hips. He's like,
That's why they made him inside. Yeah.
He was like, he doesn't have it. And I didn't understand what he was saying then until he showed it to me. Like, we were at work, and he took me to the office. He said, let me show you something. And he showed it. He slowed it down. He was like, he has no hips.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I was saying about throwing at the combine is because of early in my scouting career, I was a proponent of watching throws and strong arm guys. I was like you, strong arm guys. Kyle Bowler from Cal.
Mm-hmm.
He stood out to me because he was a strong arm. He was big. He was a white Steve McNair to me. And I was like, yeah, he could take a shot and he'll be fine. You know, he's tough. Then he knelt down on the 50.
He threw 65 yards
through the uprights. And I was like, Baltimore's got him a baller. Let's go. He never panned out. Strong arms, you still need precision. That's one thing that Steve McNair, Jim Kelly, Warren Moon, all these guys, this is what they had.
Yo,
they had strong arms, but they had accuracy.
I'm gonna call you Ed Cota, because what you just did was set me up for the dunk. So the one thing I like about this kid Daniels is every time I watch, and maybe it's just on his highlights, but every time I watch his receivers, speaking of his receivers, the kid Neighbors is going to be a top 10 pick. If he's not top 10, he's top 12. But every time I watch him make a throw, his receivers are always running. They're never stopping to catch the ball, then the run. So that's a plus. I don't know what their schedule is when it comes to taking snaps under center. But this kid has something. And I think he's going to move himself up into the top three. Not the top three, but the top 10 in terms of draft prospects. I think it's going to be a battle between him and Penix to be the third quarterback taken. Because I think Drake May from North Carolina and Caleb Williams will be the top two. I think there's a fight for the third spot. Let's get out of this.
All right. Moving over to the NFL and our preview for today. All lines are brought to you by FanDuel, our official, unofficial sponsor. So, starting up, we have the Boss BJ's Buffalo Bills visiting the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites. Over-under is 48.5. Boss BJ, it's your boys, man. How you confident about this? It's a regular season game. How you feel?
Nah, not at all. Buffalo's problem is even if they got a little bit of swagger back on offense, which it looks like they may have, they have absolutely no playmakers on defense, right? The Dallas PD found Von Miller, and Buffalo Bills are still searching for him. They have no idea what Von Miller is. He still hasn't shown up. At this point now, it's just like, all right, you've had enough time to come back from this injury. And I think this is the two-year window I had spoke of when they first signed him. And you got 2 years with him before you got to make a decision in that second year. Is he still top of the game? Is he still contributing? Or do we have to cut our losses? And I think that's the point it's coming to. I feel like – and it's a big, big weight on Kansas City's shoulders too. And I think Andy Reid understands is you don't want to get the team – you don't want to be the team that gets Buffalo started on their run and their role, because you might have to see them begin the playoffs. And that's one team that, for whatever reason, Buffalo and Kansas City go back and forth. They play each other very well. Even with Buffalo not having the defense to stop Kansas City, usually the Buffalo offense, or not usually, all the time, it's the Buffalo offense that keeps them in the game, except the AFC Championship a couple years back. This is a big game for Buffalo, man. I feel like they can win it. I just don't feel like they have enough playmakers on defense to pull it out. If they win it, it's going to have to be like 45-38. And Buffalo has the ball at the last possession to either they get a go-ahead field goal or go-ahead touchdown. I just don't feel like if Kansas City has to drive for the win when a touchdown, game's over. It just don't have it on defense. Nobody's on that defense. Terrell Bernard, I'm going to give some people their flowers. Terrell Bernard, Gregory Russo, and somebody I've killed for 2 years, AJ Espinosa. Those guys, I see their name pop up all the time. They're somewhere making a play. The two guys that are absolutely disappointing, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Somebody has to make a play. And I just don't feel like these guys, we're in week, 14?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this ain't week four. You don't have any playmakers on this defense. It's going to take a really big game from Russo, Ed Oliver, Espinosa, where they can get in Mahomes' face and try to shake him up, try to make him make some mistakes. I think I'm going with Kansas City, though, to edge out Buffalo. I'm going to go with I want to see what the weather is in Kansas City, because they're in Kansas City. So we're looking at 39, partly cloudy. I think this is going to be over the 48.5, and I'll take Kansas City to cover.
All right. I like the way that sounds. I see we're going to continue our streak, BJ, of being on one accord. And I think this game ends up being KC – winning something like 37-34. So I think KC, of course, covers the 1.5. I think we kill the over. In terms of Buffalo, what I'm concerned about is, will they stick to the running game? And my concern for KC is, will they be able to find a running game without Pacheco being around? And Clyde Hilaire, Jared McKinnon, and company trying to produce something for them in terms of running yards and rush yards. And I think that's where this ball game is going to ultimately come down to. What can KC do in the mix to supplement a running game without Pacheco? They've struggled in the passing game. Everybody keeps trying to tell me it's Eric Bieniemy, but no, it's not Eric Bieniemy. It's talent. It's a lack of consistency from the guys on the outside winning the routes. And this is a situation where next year KC has to invest heavily in some younger receivers. And I would even say they got to sign a vet to make this worth their while going forward. I mean, you had to get rid of Tyreek, and I understand it. Business decision. But now you got to start finding some guys to replace that. And right now, Sky Moore ain't the answer. Mecole Hardman ain't the answer. Only kid that's giving them something is the kid from SMU. I think his name is Reese or whatever it is. But that's the only one giving them anything from a productive standpoint. Everybody else is just out there. Now, maybe this kid, Justin, I think it's Light or from Clemson. I think he comes back off of suspension. So I think he might give them something else. I think it's Justin Hill.
I think he comes back after the Buffalo game.
He does? Okay. All right. So then he doesn't count today. So let's just strike that from the memory. I never said that. But, yeah, I think these are situations where this team has to find something to hang their hat on. And I think teams are doing a good job taking away Kelce, but this is why the offense is struggling. It's not because Eric Bieniemy isn't there.
I'm going to have to go to the other side, fellas, because when it's the regular season, Buffalo always beats Kansas City somehow. And always gives you a twinge of hope. Now, Buffalo's my Super Bowl pick. So this is where I'm going to get that twinge of hope. And I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to go with Buffalo. And I'm going to go with the over. But Buffalo wins this game. Kansas City, I'm not going to say people have figured them out, but Green Bay did beat Kansas City last week. And here's the thing. Buffalo's a better team than Green Bay. So give me Buffalo. I'm going to say 41-38 overtime. That Tyler Bass coming in with a field goal after Kansas City had the ball. Xavier checking in. Kansas City with the over. He doesn't know anything.
So trying to say the both of us don't know anything because we took the same thing?
No, he doesn't know anything.
What are you trying to say?
He doesn't know anything.
Am I some sort of comedian? Yeah. Do I make you laugh?
Look at that. You stuttering prick, you. I had him shaking, didn't I? Henry, you fold under questioning. No, don't. I'm not gonna go there. I just got to look from the kitchen. Good God. Oh man. really, Midnight Rider. It's 11:46. You got 14 minutes to get your shout out and love song request in. Love talking slow jam. Really? Oh man. Xavier say, like I said, if Taylor Swift is there, they are winning. I mean, she was there last week and they didn't win.
Was she? I thought she was in overseas last time they played.
No, that was they said the last game was the first time they lost with her in the building.
Oh, okay. Shows you how much I care.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good if she doesn't show up. I don't want to see her on camera every 5 minutes. Next up, Jacksonville visits Cleveland. Cleveland's 1.5-point favorite. Over under is 36.5. Boss BJ.
I'm kind of surprised that Cleveland is 1.5. I wonder if they made this line before they knew. Oh my God, I just had a brain fart. What's the Trevor Lawrence is playing? Now I'm gonna take Jacksonville on this one. I love Cleveland's defense, but I think Jacksonville will do enough to get up. So give me Jacksonville the points. Let me look real quick because I want to see what we're looking like in Cleveland for weather. We're looking at overcast 38, win 18. Give me the over 36.5. It's going to be just cold, overcast, win at 18. I think it'll be just over that 36.5. So I'm taking Jacksonville with the points and over.
I think CBS need to fire Topper Shutt and just go ahead and get BJ to be their new weatherman. It's crazy, baby. It's crazy. Crazy.
Well, all I'm going to do is do what they're doing. Look at the phone, be like, yeah, this is what's going to happen.
I'm going to take Jacksonville with the points. I think Jacksonville has really found something with their defense and their pass rush. I just don't trust Trevor Lawrence's ankle. The way it looked like it cracked and the fact that they let him stand beside two of the shortest men in the company to try to put weight on his shoulders while he walked to the locker room. That only could have made the injury worse. It's like they didn't have any parts back in Jacksonville. I'm gonna go Jacksonville plus 1.5. I think I'm gonna take the under. I'm gonna live dangerously.
Man, you gotta really dig with a show sometimes. Just the subtle shots that come through this show. I like that they didn't have any. Your star quarterback walking off the field with two people. Y'all had no carts, nothing.
No carts and nobody over 6 feet tall to walk him out of the locker room.
A piggyback ride, something. Hey, KG, I put something in one of the overlays. I know Midnight Rider's not logged in on the StreamYard. Let me know if you see that picture. It's right under the Philly and Dallas.
Oh, right under, okay. Yeah. Make sure I got to get that, yeah. Yeah, because that's going to be epic today.
I think Midnight Rider love that.
That is going to be epic. Jacksonville, Cleveland. Cleveland defense is top tier, but the offense is what scares me. I don't think they have
They got Flacco. He's elite, right?
No, Flacco was elite 11 years ago. Flacco hasn't been elite since 2013.
Well, you said Flacco was elite when?
11 years ago. Prior to that, Flacco was elite, I'll say, from birth until 2012.
If that's the case, then I was a porn star from birth to 2012.
But, you know, I used to defend Flacco, just like I defended Eli Manning, calling Eli elite.
Flacco's not a name, but Flacco's a good quarterback. Flacco's not elite. I'm sorry,
but I don't have faith in he. Now, granted, he had an okay game last week, but I don't have faith in him in this game. Give me Jacksonville, but I'll take the under. But Jacksonville will cover.
Dang, Zay got him 30-27. Jags.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. 30-27. And he also said back to the last game the refs was the reason that they lost. The refs the reason, if that's the case, the refs are the reasons why everybody loses.
What game are you talking about?
The Green Bay Kansas City game last week.
Oh, okay.
The refs have been a factor in a lot of games this year. We need red cashing back and Jerome Boger to do every game. We need some real refs, man.
No. I'm going to tell you what we need. They need to have a shot collar around their neck. When they make the wrong call, New York just press a button. Hit one of them joints. I'm just saying. One of them.
I saw the window.
Next up, Seattle Seahawks visit the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers are 13.5 point favorites. Over under is 46.5. Boss BJ.
Sorry about that. I'm trying to get to the weather. I didn't tell y'all the mouse pad on my computer just quit. So now I'm using a real mouse, but I'm going to the computer like I would normally do, and it's not moving. So that's my delay. So, oh man, look, they're at Levi Stadium, 55, overcast, wind at 3 miles an hour. Give me San Francisco on them points. Give me I think San Francisco got a point to prove. Give me San Francisco to 13.5. I'm going to say under. I don't think it's going to reach that 46.5. I think it's going to be like 33 to 10. I think it's going to just miss that 46.5. But I'm going to take San Francisco. It's Seattle. I can't put a pin on it. And everybody wants to put it on Geno. But it's just like, I feel like they have it, but they're missing something. And I don't want to put it all on Geno. They're missing something. And Midnight Rider about to chime in. And it's just like they're there for a second, and then they have this lapse where, I don't know, they get transported to outer space, and then the team just walks away from them. Midnight Rider, what you got?
It's the element in their running game. So they've got two thumpers as runners. You got Zach Charbonnet. And you got Kenneth Walker. I think Walker's been hurt. And if anybody's the person that's going to take the top off the defense or make big plays in the running game, it's Walker over Charbonnet. And I think because that element is missing, they have to they struggle to move the ball down the field. And another part is DK Metcalf is a one-trick pony. Until they invest heavily in Jackson Smith and Jigba, they're going to struggle offensively. You saw them against Dallas. When Jigba was involved, they moved the ball. They got 34 points against Dallas. So being in that vibe or that thought process, I'm going to take Seattle to cover the 13.5. I think we're going to go over, and I think we're going to get a big day from Smith and Jigba tonight or whenever this game goes off.
So you taking Seattle in this one?
I'm taking Seattle to cover.
Oh, Seattle to cover, but San Fran to win.
San Fran to win. And I'm taking the over.
Taking the over. Okay. Here's a transparency moment. If San Francisco struggles in this game.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Here
but
we
I
go.
Don't.
Choo-choo! Choo-choo! They haven't arrived yet. Choo-choo!
I don't expect them to struggle. I expect them to come out and exert dominance. I would love to do a post and say, hey, San Francisco, you have finally arrived. You put together two back-to-back brilliant wins. I would love to say that. So I'm going to take San Francisco. I'm going to take the over and San Francisco to cover. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Then I can continue to also say, you haven't arrived yet. You think you have, but you haven't.
Yo, what are we doing? San Francisco hasn't arrived yet. So I guess you just waiting for them to pull into Napford with Thomas and all the fellas from Thomas the Train, because I guess for you, San Fran hasn't arrived. They still holding somewhere.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. And this is what you don't understand. It's something, that whole phrase comes from something that Chuck Knoll said he had been saying in 71, 72. And they say he was saying it in 80. Because if you think you have arrived already, you think you have arrived, that means you peaked. You don't want to peak too soon. Because if you peak too soon, that decline is going to be fucking hell. It's going to be a bitch. Hence why San Francisco hasn't arrived yet. They haven't arrived to the peak. Not to the show. They haven't arrived to the peak.
So hopefully some point this season, Sir Topham Hatt will welcome the San Francisco 49ers to the train station.
I can't, man. I can't. Next up, the LA Rams visit the Baltimore Ravens at PSI Net Stadium.
PSI Net? What?
I wanted to see was anybody going to catch that one.
Wow.
Take it way back.
Yeah. Oh, boy,
you want to get a movie reference, Motorola Stadium. Now, if you can figure out what movie that's from. But Baltimore is 7.5 point favorites, over under 45.5. And I forgot, I think that's Xavier's comment. I forgot. He said 49 is 30 to 10.
30 to 10. That's what I said.
This
is my baby.
If the 49ers win that,
Xavier's, I like that. I just
called. Xavier's on punishment if the 49ers win that.
Oh, here we go.
Even though I picked San Fran to win.
So the weather, of course, we're local. It's 56. It's supposed to rain all day. Winds at 12. I think it's going to be a sloppy one. I think this is going to be under. It's going to be a sloppy one. Wet, nasty, sticky. But give me the under on the points and give me Baltimore to cover the 7.5. I think I don't see the Rams putting up too many points. I see this being a 23-13-ish type game. Baltimore wins, you know, but they're going to get their points. So it's going to be a little sloppy, though.
And you taking Baltimore with the over?
Yeah, nah, Baltimore with the under. Okay. Baltimore the points and under for the 40.5.
Because this is going to be a sloppy one and a wet one, I'm going to take the Rams to cover the 7.5.
Don't forget moist.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be moist. So let me change that. I'm going to take the Rams to cover with the 7.5 because it's going to be a sloppy one, a wet one, and a moist one. I think we're going to be under the 40.5 because I believe this is going to be one of those ball games where at the end of the ball game, they're going to be doing slides across the field in the wetness because you just can't. There's nothing stopping them from just sliding across the field. You know what I'm saying? They're going to get in the wet and just go. So I think the Rams plus 7.5. I think Baltimore wins, and we're under the 40.5.
Well, I think we can all agree on this.
That's going to be wet and moist?
Oh, no. That is going to be sloppy. It's gonna be wet. And it's going to be a lot of sliding.
I see that, BJ.
So, I'm going to go ahead and take Baltimore.
Oh, my gosh.
But I will say this. With these type of conditions, you know, here locally, you have to stay inside. You can't go out.
Yeah, you got to stay inside.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, if you're on unfamiliar territory,
you have protection if you're going to stay inside.
Well, yeah, you got to put a raincoat on if you're on unfamiliar territory. Yeah.
Right up the middle, we talking about in the guts.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Are you looking at me like
that? We got to stay inside today. It's wet. It's
and raining. Voice. Sloppy.
You got to make sure the raincoat fits the right way, too.
Yeah.
Okay, moving along. Go ahead and give me Baltimore. I done got yelled at because of y'all. Stop it.
Oh,
give me Baltimore with the under. I think this is going to be a straight run game here. You can't. This is going to be reminiscent of them old sloppy games of the 90s and the 80s where you can't pass the ball. You gotta run.
They might be able to the first half because, you know, unlike a stadium 40 miles south of them, they take care of their field. So you figure they're gonna have a tarp on it until game time. They probably get off a little bit first quarter, second quarter. But when the elements really kick in,
you gotta get off if it's sloppy, wet, and moist. You gotta get off.
You have to. You gotta get off early. You mean you want to enjoy it, you know, before before it really gets bad.
But you don't want to be in it 2 pumps. You gotta be more than 2 pumps.
Man. Well, we gotta move on.
Yes.
Last but not least.
This sophomore section was brought to you by
Pornhub.
Last but not least. Philadelphia versus Dallas.
Oh, we'll just call that the Sarah J segment of the show.
I just lost all my momentum thinking of that face. I need something.
The Jada Fire moments.
Okay, yeah, here we go. There we go.
There we go.
There we go.
This game is
The Joseph Weiss moment.
Oh, sorry. Dallas 3.5 point favorites, over under 51.5.
Let's reblock this. Let's start over. Let's start over because I was too sophomore. I'm sorry.
Next game, last game of the slate for us today. Philadelphia visits Dallas at AT&T Stadium. Dallas is 3.5 point favorites. Over under is 51.5. Boss BJ, what you got on this one?
Of course, this one's indoors. This is a game of the week. I think this is a big test for Philadelphia. I said before Philly played San Francisco last week, I said I think Buffalo exposed them just a little bit. But we're not talking about being exposed to, you know, run-of-the-mill teams. Your top 5 and 6 teams might have a blueprint after watching that Buffalo game. And San Francisco proved the point. They told them, hey, we didn't have Brock Purdy in the championship game. We would have beat y'all. Y'all are frauds. And they proved it last week. Running Philadelphia up and down the field. Now, Dallas has something to prove. I'm leaning with Philadelphia. I'm leaning with the over on this one. This is the Cowboys game. They have to prove themselves that they're ready to take that next step. They're not the typical Cowboys where they got this good record and they're making the playoffs and then they get thumped in the playoffs. This is a stepping stone for the Cowboys, a really important game. But with that being said, I'm going to take the over and I'm going to take Philly to win. I think it's going to be a good game, a close game. You got the ideal conditions. It's indoors. I think both offenses are going to shine. Give me Philly, though.
Okay. I'm going to stick with Sir Topham Hatt because I think Dallas hasn't arrived according to KG. But I'm going to take the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys, this is the game where they decide to show up at the train station. Whether it's Amtrak, whether it's railway, you can reach them any way. Just reach them if you can. So I think Dallas wins. I think Philly covers the 3.5 because I think this is going to be a field goal ball game. And I'm going to take the over. So Dallas wins outright. Philly covers. And we got the over 51.5.
Okay. So let me get to this comment real quick. So,
because we have to 12 o'clock.
Kristen Boggs, the Midnight Rider Ben Conti would say, "Hey, I miss you," and he wanted to play some Tevin Campbell just to let you know how much he misses her.
This show getting out of control, man.
Okay.
Uh-oh, you got there's one more request in the thing.
And we got to get to it because I'm hoping that they all are listening. But to the boss BJ, he asked for sexual healing. So, to Miss Jackie, your husband says he need a little sexual healing in his life. Hit it, Marvin.
What is going on?
We create new segments for this show every week. Every week. Every week, we create another segment for this show. Uh-oh.
Why are you looking at me like that?
You gotta give a shout out to her now.
That's what I was getting ready to. So
It's after 12 o'clock. He still got his Love Talking Slow Jams voice.
Since we giving shout outs to our ladies, I'll say this to my wife, Miss Lisa.
It's raining.
I'm missing you, even though you're just right across the room. I'm missing you, but I just wanted to dedicate Little Temperatures Rising to you.
Nobody's hearing
Who y'all trying to get laid today? Come on. Who y'all trying to get laid? Because I want to know. Now I'm nosy.
My right ear burning.
Hey, boo.
Going up in here.
Mine on the road, so control. We ain't get no
people. I'm rapping.
Oh, see, now we know who's gonna get laid. You done started from us.
Well, I mean, we got to talking, and we were talking about it being wet, moist, and sloppy. So let me get back on track.
Cause you know that mud in Baltimore be stuck to you. You gotta take a good shower.
What? Oh, okay.
This right here is a test for Philly. Yes, I agree that Dallas has not arrived yet. So this is going to be a test for both teams. How is Philly going to respond to the loss? Is Dallas going to keep the momentum going? But I'm taking Philly in the over with this one. I think Dallas stumbles here. It's December. I'm expecting Dallas to stumble, mate, but it may not be the same Dallas team you're used to. So give me Philly with the over. I'm going to say 34-30, just to make it sweet. So
10-4. Hey, we got a special picture. So I know we got dance out there, but we got a special picture. Don't we, KG? We got a special picture, don't we, KG?
We do.
Okay, I got to come in bowl games.
I'm gonna let KG.
Can we hold this for Tuesday if we go back to Duval, Paul?
Oh my goodness.
He ain't gonna like that too much.
I think this is gonna be a staple picture. We gotta save that on the hard drive. Because there's a Kleenex bowl every year, baby. Every year.
Oh, I'm sorry. The wide receiver I was talking about from Kansas City is Rashay Rice. That's who it is.
Okay. Cool.
All right, before we wrap this thing up, before we even get to that, hold on. What's your safe picks and your bold predictions for the day?
Oh, shoot.
I gave my first pick on Thursday. My safe pick is that Washington will not lose today.
You copied me from last week. My safe pick? Man. I'm going to say Kelsey, 6 receptions, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bold, I'm going with Josh Allen again. 300 yards, 4 total touchdowns. 300 yards passing, 4 total touchdowns.
All right, this is going to be different. I'm going to take my safe pick. Is Gardner Minshew throwing for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns? That's the safe pick. The bold pick is John Michi gets 2 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. That's my bold pick. Because he's gonna take the Tank Dell role.
Yeah, I'm about to say he got some work to do. He got some extra work.
Xavier said his safe pick is Philly wins.
He doesn't get the segment. Kids these days, they just can't. I tell you, what are you doing with
him? My bold pick. I gave my safe. My bold pick is Russell Wilson goes off against the Chargers. I'm talking 4 TDs, 300 yards, 2 TDs rushing.
I had Russell Wilson a couple weeks ago on a bowl, and he let me down. I mean, all the way in the. They not letting the casket down slow. They dropped that motherfucker and it broke. So I'm gonna leave Russ alone.
Oh Lord. It's got the right kick to it too. Now our final segment. What you eating?
Before we go on what you eating, make sure if you're a connoisseur of liquor, that link below, fortmosay.com/discount/maniacs. Get your discount. Get you a good drink, because you get when you eat and you got to have a good drink, you know, and depending on if your team win or lose and whether you're going to drink more or less, you know, your team getting hosed, you might want to pour another hefty cup. You got to, you know, sit down and forget about that. But you want something with some flavor, go with your whatever you eat in the day. Click that link, copy and paste it. We'll try to put it in the, I thought I had it in the, Facebook, but I'll fix that. But yeah, what you eating? For me, we just had a big breakfast, so I'm gonna stay light until dinner time. So I won't be eating anything during the games. I'm gonna have me something to drink.
Wife, what we got in the freezer? What is that? Tennessee? What? What is it? What is it?
Tennessee whiskey cider, black label. That's what we got.
So that's Johnny. No, that's Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels. No, hold on. Let me get it.
Sorry. No. That's what you got, KG?
Well, for me, my wife decided because the weather was going to be not so good today, she went with the staple. So we're having chili and cornbread.
Ooh.
And she is around the meat. The chili is going into the crock pot as we speak.
Jack Daniels, Tennessee apple.
Okay.
That's what I got.
I like that. People have their choices, but I'm a big Jack Daniels single label. Single barrel guy.
Yeah, we have a bottle of that. That's
so, yeah. She's preparing the chili as we speak. And we got cornbread coming.
My bad.
Is it gonna be thick? The cornbread?
It's always thick
and moist.
And it's moist outside.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's oh man, you gonna butter those cornbreads?
What you got, Midnight Rider?
So I got pasta with diced tomatoes already made up. So it's like angel hair pasta, thin spaghetti noodles. I've got some boneless chicken breasts that are chopped up. So with onions. So I'm about to cook peppers. And then I'm about to do some ground beef because I'm going to have an option where I can either do spaghetti with the ground beef, or I can do the grilled chicken with the pasta noodles and the diced tomatoes. And of course, all this was cooked in white wine vinegar. So,
Damn. Xavier chimes in. He says his bold pick is Jalen Hurts throws for over 300 yards.
It's Xavier's next comment.
Goddamn right, I'm eating my cornbread. You want a piece of cornbread? You go up front and get your own.
You gonna eat your cornbread?
You touch my cornbread, it's gonna be part two of my chemistry.
Oh man!
But ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of this show.
Oh boy.
Man, final thoughts before we roll up out of here, because we got pregame shows to watch.
I'm gonna just say my Bills got a lot to prove today. I said,
I'm sorry. Shohei Ohtani signed a 10-year, $700 million deal with the Dodgers. That's crazy. But absolutely, I like what the Dodgers did, because the Dodgers know that there's value in him being a pitcher. And here's a bold prediction. I think if the Dodgers make it into the playoffs next season, and they get to a game seven, even though Shohei hasn't pitched all season, I think in a game five of the NCDS, or game seven of the NLCS, I think Shohei comes out of the bullpen and pitches an inning or two for that team to put them over. That's my bold prediction. Write it down, lick the stamp, because it's moist outside, so get that stamp wet and put it on the letter.
You know, it's a smart move because just off of jersey sales and how popular he is, he long, they're going to make so much money off of him. So it's just like, and it's again, a win-win.
Here's the beauty of it. Guess who he's in a picture with? And it speaks to what I was telling. When you talk about a certain fella and his mental health issues when he was in Washington, there's a picture of Rui Hachimura.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Then besides Shohei. And I kept telling you, sometimes it's about that connection on the other side. Now, hopefully, I don't know if Hachimura is going to stay in L.A. because there's talks about him going to Chicago with somebody in a deal to get, like, DeRozan or to get – what's the other boy?
Levine.
Yeah. So that, there's always that conversation. But that's part of the thing I was talking about, the element. You know, when you have people of your culture close to you, you know, it makes it easier for you. And I think that's what Rui had. He has a little homesickness. I want to see what's going to happen next. I know we talked about it, but the Orioles are about to be sold or should be sold, hopefully, at the beginning of 2024, which will help the Nats with their TV money situation. What am I missing? Am I missing anything else? Oh, the Dodgers lineup. I mean, the Dodgers start their lineup off with Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman. And then Will Smith after that. You can't start a lineup off better than that.
Is Jada going to let Will Smith play?
No, here we go.
Well, Jada doesn't care about Will Smith because she still loves Tupac.
And you just said something. I know we got to get out of here. But once again, athletes making millions of dollars. And they homesick. I'm homesick when I go to work.
Yeah.
I don't make millions of dollars. So I don't want to hear it.
And here's the thing. I thought Shohei was going to come to the East Coast. The tax alone in California eats your ass, man.
Yeah, but
yeah, he makes 70 million.
He's only going to get 34? Right. That's more than half.
But you got to remember, on the West Coast, you have that heavy Pacific Northwest vibe. In that culture out there, so that's where it's different. And then plus, you got to think about it this way. I'll take you to another part of the argument. If you're on the East Coast, you're in Philly, New York, Washington, Baltimore. If you're in that Mid Atlantic region, you're under heavy scrutiny every time you take in the bat, every time you hit a baseball. Boston, you're not getting talked about the same way. Like,
you don't think so? LA? You don't think so in LA?
No, sir. They'll have some of it, but it's not going to be the same level of intensity that you'll get in the markets on the East Coast, especially in the Mid-Atlantic region. We hold our players to a different standard. Because if they did, Anthony Rendon would have a problem the whole time he's doing whatever he's doing. And then also, my other bold prediction, Mike Trout to the Phillies.
I can see that.
Send him home. Send him home and rebuild. And I don't even know if they got their car started.
See, the simple fact that he made that, he just made his day harder. Because that wasn't even necessary. That was a straight bullet, so that wasn't even necessary. So
I ain't even gonna say nothing on that, but we gotta get out of here,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, it's 1:10.
Thank
well,
you.
We make it like 2 more minutes, we can be the 1:12, and that's where the players dwell.
Well, yeah, that's true. But thank you for joining us today. Hope you enjoyed our shenanigans, our whole talk of everything. It's the last week of the regular season for fantasy football. Playoffs start next week, so get your lineups together, get your picks in on ESPN, get your parlays in on FanDuel. Make sure you get everything done for the Midnight Rider on that side. The Boss BJ, I'm the big guy KG. You know the motto, we don't do no overtime, y'all. We are out of here. Softball.